This Pete and Kimber podcast is driven by Toyota. The all-new, all-electric Toyota BZ4X is here with a new striking and sleek design. Charge on in the Toyota BZ4X. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, welcome.
I must admit I haven't prepared anything.
Did you do the podcast on your own yesterday?
No, Rami was with me.
Oh, how did that go?
I don't know. It was a real out-of-body experience yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah. I was exhausted.
Oh, okay.
It was a big, you know, the last half hour of the show yesterday, because you weren't here, was a lot. It was a lot for me.
This is a nice way for you to point out that I do all the heavy lifting.
You really do. Big, big shoulders on you, Kimber.
I do have big shoulders. These are the ones that they would be basically carrying water from the well if we were in a third world country.
1,500 metres. Down the Olympic pool. Kimber here.
I should have continued with my asthma swimming.
Asthma swimming? Asthma swimming?
My parents took me to Maida Vale every weekend. And we didn't live anywhere near Maida Vale. We grew up in Belmont. And they would drive us to Maida Vale every Saturday morning to do asthma swimming at the pool there, where the asthma club would get together. And because swimming's really good for your lung capacity.
What a giant bunch of nerds. I could imagine. Could you imagine that? Just thinking about the asthma club, going down to the pool and seeing a dozen kids all standing outside of the pool going.
Yeah. And you know what? It was really hard to breathe. The irony of it is that the swimming's really good for you and, you know, great for lung capacity. However, the chlorine at the time, like the chlorine in the 80s was so intense that that first few inches coming off the water, when you come up from like a breaststroke or, you know, overarm and you go freestyle, that's called for adults, and you go to take a breath, you're just sucking back chems.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just chemicals up the wazoo.
There's still a little bit of that around.
Yeah, but they're not as intense.
Falling pool has a bit of like you come out there feeling like you've just bathed in nuclear light.
just bleach.
You're completely bleached.
Yeah, it was good for us though.
Yep.
It was really good.
I went in there with a tan and came out white.
I've seen too many posts about Beyonce lately.
Oh, no. What?
Do you think that's
a
thing?
What do you mean? What? What's a thing?
That they think Beyonce is whitening her skin.
I don't know. Is that a thing? Well, is that a conspiracy theory?
She's a lot whiter than she was.
And I haven't
seen
this.
When Michael Jackson sort of did that, he was very unpopular for it. But Beyonce is kind of going under the radar. But if you look up some photos, they're quite significantly different.
Jeez, she is. I mean, if you really sort of look.
But why would you? Why would you? Surely not.
A misleading notion. This is okay. So trueandpuretexture.com. I don't know.
True and pure texture.
Yeah, I know, right? That's a website.
God, they make a website out of anything, won't they?
Has Beyonce been bleached? Yes, the superstar did look. This is in Harper's Bazaar.
Oh, that's a very reputable magazine.
Well,
most of that magazine is advertising.
The Knowles have slammed trolls accusing Beyonce of skin bleaching or white fishing is what it's called.
What?
White fishing.
Oh.
Yes, the superstar did look paler than usual, but rather than consider the way the color of her hair might affect her skin tone, because this was a picture of her with like bleached blonde hair.
Yeah.
To say nothing of the silver dress and carpet, the season and the special lighting, some people decided she must have bleached her skin or was trying to look white.
Anyway.
What the
hell? You can look
that
up at home. Make your own judgment.
This is
came
so.
To mind. I just had seen a few things recently.
This is so interesting.
Anyway,
they
anal bleaching.
No. I believe that's called the. I'll have the Beyonce holes. Her last name's Knowles.
What's
for those
on the
of
podcast
you playing
today?
Along. I don't know. Who cares?
I do a blackout challenge with Aidan Akademo from Home and Away. I got to act on the set of Home and Away.
Yeah, that was great. It was great fun. It was a lot of fun. And it was good listening back to it as well. It was a belter.
Then we go from Channel 7 over to Channel 9 where we talk to Jack from Maths, who is so lacking in self-awareness, he's still happy to do publicity even though the nation hate him.
Oh, yeah. And he had every single comment under the sun ready for everything that you threw at him this morning.
Isn't that funny? It's funny how those people can do that. Pete impersonates Kimber. I mean, your impersonation
was spot on. It was
Gary from Caramar texted and said that he thought it was spot on, and I was like, what are you guys listening to?
Now, because you're potato meets Viking and you're white, it's not racist. That's the cool thing about being able to do a Kimber impersonation.
It's not racist if it's from a European country.
Yeah.
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 We spoke to Premier Roger Cook.
Karen's in here just shaking his head and everything coming out of this podcast.
We spoke to Premier Roger Cook. I mentioned to him that there was a housing crisis on because I don't know if he knows. Did you feel like he was getting that information for the first time?
Are you saying that because, I mean, really any time you say that to any politician that there's a housing crisis, I mean, what do they say?
Every time they come in, we say it, and they still don't have answers, Pete.
Well,
that's why I'm saying.
What's their answers? Like, this is the thing. Like, what can he say much more than? And I'm not trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but what can he say much more than? Because it's a big job, right? It's a big deal. What can he say much more than we're working on it?
All I'm saying is, if I had a problem that was that pressing in my life, I would have sought help and advice and sat down and dealt with the problem instead of letting it go year on year out.
True.
The problem's still getting worse and worse and worse.
What did you say, 150 people at a house in Carlisle?
Yeah, on the weekend.
On the weekend for a rental? 150 people.
For one house. And also, I missed the birth of my friend's baby.
Oh, that's right. That happened in amongst all the shit we're talking about.
It was pretty significant. And I might have suggested that our boss is an a-hole.
Yeah, but apparently you weren't the only one.
We hugged it out this morning.
Yeah, that was nice of you too.
But did you hear what he said to me afterwards?
No, what?
You still sounded angry today. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, have a podcast.
Pete and Kimber's Blackout Challenge.
So at any given time throughout this year, we could have blindfolds and noise-cancelling headphones put on us, and then we're just taken somewhere. We don't know where it'll be or what will happen, but once all that stuff comes off, whatever's in front of us, you have to do.
You just have to deal with it. I was nervous when you pulled this one on me.
I didn't pull it on you.
Well, I thought...
I didn't even know it was happening.
We were in Sydney last week, and we had lots of things to do. We had a really busy, packed schedule. And then the next thing you know, I'm in an elevator and producer Rami slaps on the headphones and the eye mask and he's like, you're in, we're doing it.
Yep. We were at the studios of Channel 7. Here was what was waiting for Kimber once all of that stuff came off for her blackout challenge.
Kimber, you're doing a blackout challenge tonight.
Oh, for goodness sake.
In the elevator at Channel 7 in Sydney as we make our way to level 10.
I feel okay that it's in the 7 building. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Plenty.
He's not going to be singing. We've already done that.
Might be singing. What do you think it is?
I think it's going to be dancing.
We're here for Australian Idol. Okay, put your blindfold on.
I can't hear anything you're saying. I've got the Veronicas absolutely blaring.
Yeah, that's good. Put your arm around my arm.
She can't hear us now.
I feel like this is going to be more of a fun one. Like, I can't get it to anything too dangerous. And I'm not dressed appropriately for anything scary.
Here we go.
What is going on? I'm going down a lot of corridors.
Gentle, gentle, gentle.
Where are we going? Are we in a tunnel? What's going on?
This is good. Okay. Oh, this is exciting. Kimber can't hear.
Oh, okay, now I'm starting to get nervous because we've been walking for a really long time. The floor has changed. This isn't carpet anymore.
Okay, take it off. Ready?
Okay.
This isn't carpet anymore.
All right. They're coming off.
Okay.
And action!
Kimber, what the hell? I'm getting married tomorrow and you slept with my fiancé.
I didn't mean to.
You're my celebrant. Why would you sleep with him?
Well, it wasn't my plan.
Was it your plan?
No.
What, you can't control yourself? Here's the love of my life. I love Justin. Now I'm going to have another failed marriage. All those fans out there that have been waiting for Leah and Justin to get married now aren't going to get married because of you, because you slept with Justin.
Technically, it's not another failed marriage because we didn't actually get you to the marriage part.
Is that what we're doing right now? You're going to be, like, worried about the technicalities of things, are you? Instead of me saying sorry.
Look, I am sorry.
So what are we going to do about it, though?
He and I haven't had a chance to talk about it.
What do you mean, he and I? What, did you know him beforehand?
I don't know if it's becoming a thing.
What do you mean it's a thing?
Like, I don't know if it's going to be something more serious.
It won't be anything serious if I have anything to do with it. You know what? You call him up right now.
Do you?
And you, on the burger phone, you call.
You still want to marry him?
Yes, I do. I love him.
Why would you want to marry
Because otherwise, Leah won't be married again. And I've just had enough of not being married.
He can't be trusted anymore.
You can't be trusted.
And cut.
It's you.
I'm the diner.
Hello, Ada Nicodemus.
Hi, how are you?
Honestly, just one of the great performances of this show. Kimber in the Blackout Challenge found herself at Home and Away, the set of Home and Away, while we were in Sydney at Channel 7 Studios. And Ada Nicodemus, what a performance. My favourite part of that is where you went from defending to you were doing her a favour. Like, where you're I don't know how this happened. Like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I slept with him. Why would you want to be with someone like that? I'm doing you a favour here.
Because when we were at Channel 7, I thought it was just the offices. I didn't realise their studio was there. I didn't know that that I was on the set of the Pier Diner where they film Home and Away.
How's the burger phone?
And the burger phone, I just loved it. But it took everything in me. As soon as I took the blindfold off, the first thing I wanted to do is go, Ada, and give her a hug. And then I realised, oh no, I'm in a blindfold challenge. I think I have to start acting. It was so fun.
You did a great job.
The Pete and Kimber podcast.
Married at First Sight continues tonight at 7:30 on 9 and 9 Now. He's arguably one of the biggest characters on the show, but not necessarily for the right reasons. Jack joins us. Good morning to you, mate.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
We're good, Jack. We're sort of surprised you're doing publicity, but have you hit the Instagram numbers you were hoping for when you signed up for the show?
Look, I don't turn any of the publicity down. I'm happy to have a chat, you know, add clarity, apologise where I need to apologise and own my shit, basically.
See, it's a tough thing, though, because I don't think anyone believes your apologies. That's surely you realise that no one's buying them yet.
Look, the only person's opinion I cared for from day one to day dot on that show was my wife, Rory, and that's all that mattered to me. Last night was a bit of a low point for me. I have a really good relationship with Tristan, and the way that came out, the way that Timothy was framing it, made it sound like I'd said something to Tristan, which I 100% did not. However, he was affected by it once it did come out at the drinks that night. So
that was you referencing one, people being whales at the pool.
Yeah, look, I'll give you some clarity. It was a banterous joke between me and Lauren. I walked in and I directed that joke at Lauren. I can assure you she laughed her ass off, and also assure you she made several remarks with me over that weekend in the same banterous kind of form. We do have some pretty dark humour. I would never say a joke like that to Tristan or anyone that wouldn't, you know,
Jack,
share the same sense of humour.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't actually care about, the whale jokes and the dumb stuff you say. I'm quite used to you saying dumb stuff. You think it's funny. Most people don't. It's cool. The thing that I can't really handle when watching this season with you is that every time you talk to your wife, Tori, you go through a series of tactics to win her over. So when Tori calls you out on a bit of your behaviour, you go with a bit of denial, then you deflect, then you blame someone else, then you love bomb her. Here's an example.
The fact is, I have the target on my back. They've gone and plotted. The guys that are having trouble in their relationships with their girls, and this is why they're doing this, obviously. Tell me who picked it up. My comment at the pool. Who picked it up?
Timothy. It doesn't matter who picked it up.
I know, but that's just proving the point. I've got a target on my back. Do you know what? End of the day, that is noise to me, because I'm here for you. And after this experiment, I'm not going hanging out with these people or calling these people or proving myself to these people. You know, it's you.
And the problem is, Jack, it's pretty textbook. Watching you last night, I said, oh, well, first he's going to do this, then he's going to do this. And I know the tactics. And I think for the women who have dated your particular brand of manipulator, we're desperate to know, do you know what you are doing, or are you just naturally wired to climb out of quicksand?
I think you've watched the show before and feel like I'm getting branded as someone that, you know, is that way. And you did just reinforce to me then, like I said, the only person I cared for their opinion on that show was Tori. And we were in a great place. Obviously, these things come up on the show and you've got to navigate it. So there's bullshit on the show, absolutely. Things are taken out of proportion, out of perspective. And you've got to have that chat online. You've got to have a conversation. I'm not going to bow down and admit shit that I didn't say or I didn't do. If I did say it, I do say it and I apologise.
So
the end of the day... Yeah, mate.
No, I was just going to say, Jack, like you're talking about the way you're portrayed on the show. So have you got the shits on with the producers or with Channel 9 or with Married at First Sight because you think that the way that you were portrayed on the show is unfair?
No, I don't have the shits. I own my shit. I went on the show, you know, and I do myself a certain way and people do judge me just from the way I look and the way I do communicate at times. But these people are the people that don't know me. And even going into the show, a lot of my friends and family said, you're going to get portrayed a certain way. You know that. And I was willing. I signed it. I went into it. I don't regret it. I still thought it was, an amazing experience. And it's clearly not how I wanted to be portrayed on the show. And what I do see on the TV, I didn't hope it'd come out the way it is. But that's how they've done it, and I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Now, there are things that come out because you're on a show like this. One of the things that has come out in the last sort of 24 hours or so is your ex-girlfriend, Courtney Jade, has claimed that you lied and told her that you were moving overseas when actually you were going on MAFS. And while you were filming MAFS and with Tori, you were still sleeping with your ex, Courtney Jade. Is that true?
That's completely false. I did tell her I was going to America for a few months for work. Originally, I told her, I tried to break up with this girl and she wasn't having it. And I said, look, I've got to go to Sydney for a few months, obviously to film MAFS. I couldn't tell her I was going to film MAFS. And she rocked up at my workplace. She said she was going to follow me to Sydney. And I felt a little bit trapped and regrettably said, I'm actually going overseas. Like, the door is shut, please move on.
Yeah. So you might not know this tactic, Pete, but what happens is when the other tactics don't work, they say that their ex is a bit crazy and that's where he's going with this. Am I ahead of the game or
will I see
that come out next week?
Not at all. I'll call this girl crazy. You won't hear me drag her through the mud. I actually don't call her crazy once on TV. Someone off camera comes out, I think it's Timothy, says that's what I said about her. Never said it. I said I was in a respectful relationship, which I knew this girl for 12 weeks, mind you. I matched her on Tinder, and from day one Tinder to the end of the relationship that it was, I knew the girl for 12 weeks. I tried to end it, rocks up at my workplace, says she's not having it, says she's following Sydney. Couldn't tell her I'm going on MAFS, obviously. End of story, basically.
Were you sleeping with her still during the filming or not?
Absolutely not, mate. I've heard so much stuff about me and the character on the show. I've read a lot of articles and that one's in the bin.
It's so hard to get people to believe you when your character is so all over the place, isn't it, mate?
And I get that. I completely understand that. You've got to remember it's a TV show. It is not, in fact, reality. And it's created for entertainment purposes, and it's a juggernaut. This is why this show pops off every year.
Yeah, Jack, we can't change you. You are who you are, but if I can change anything, dude, can you upsize your clothes? They're too damn tight, man. All of them, the pants, the shirts, they're so tight.
I went out on the weekend, and I've had a few pictures of me on the weekend, and I had an extra large shirt on. I mightn't have buttoned it all the way up, and people are telling me my clothes are too big now, so I just can't win.
Mate, there's a normal size out there for you. There is. Just try it.
All right. Jack, thanks for joining us this morning, mate. You copped a few, but you handled yourself. Good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back today, Kimber.
Thank you. I'm sorry I had to leave abruptly yesterday.
Yeah. It was a big day for you yesterday.
Big day. You might have captured a bit of my emotional outburst on air. Because, the mics went live 30 seconds after I had received the news that I had missed the birth of my friend's baby, that I was meant to be a birthing partner for.
I know how much that meant to you. We've been hearing about it for the last 3 weeks, but also you're the sort of person who is the most loyal friend you could ever possibly have, So I can only imagine, right, that what we saw was just a little inkling of what was actually going on inside you. Because I know that would have broken your heart yesterday.
I felt terrible. I told her I would be there for her. I knew she'd gone into labor. I said I wanted to leave work. Our boss said, can you just stick around for a couple of hours? Births take ages. Just finish the rest of the show and then you can go.
Traditionally.
And then I got a text that said, she's already had the baby.
Yeah.
So I was really disappointed thing. And you heard that on air.
Yeah.
But thank you, Pete, because I know that you would have had to have continued the last half hour of the show without me. And also we record some things after the show, like some promotional ads and stuff about what's coming up the next day and that kind of gear. And I know you would have done that on your own.
I certainly did.
Oh, God.
You're very welcome.
Were you rubbish at them?
No, I wasn't rubbish at
producer
them.
Producer Rami West says that I keep these things on the rails, like without me here, that you get too loose.
It's like when you were at school and the substitute teacher would come in.
Oh,
right? And then, but except for us, you know, Rami's the substitute teacher. And so if it was going to be loose, it's loose. And then you get Rami, you throw Rami and Kerrod into the mix and it just gets incredibly loose.
I heard a little bit of you on the show yesterday. I heard Rami doing an impersonation of me as I was driving to the birthing center.
It was a good impersonation. Yeah, and I'll play it for you. Here, have a listen to this. This was Rami's impersonation of Kimber during Yay or Nay. I mean, listen.
I can do a good woman's good Kimber voice.
Come on.
Do you want to display it for us?
Feminism!
Oh, God,
women.
No, stop.
There's too many men on the station.
Stop it.
Equal rights.
There are people listening to this. Stop it.
And that's why we love Kimbo.
Oh, at least I stand for something.
No, you do. You stand for a lot of things, like feminism and equal rights.
So did you do your part? If Rami got me covered, what part did you play?
I played both parts. See, it was a tough, exhausting day for me yesterday. I know you were very emotionally exhausted and drained and you had to go and take off, but if you leave, it's a very exhausting day for me as well because I have to play both you and me.
No.
When it comes to talking about
true.
What's... Yes,
you
it
just
is.
Become a kid who's misbehaving and can't
not.
Focus is what
not.
Happens.
I am not. I'm going to play this audio for you, okay? And you tell me
this
if there's a kid misbehaving.
Did while I wasn't here.
Yes.
Mix 94.5's Pete and Kimber for breakfast.
We're back tomorrow from 5:30 right here on Mix 94.5. And if you missed it this morning, Kimber had to leave the studio live because her best mate was giving birth to the baby. So I'm going to do both Kimber's and mine parts here.
Oh, God.
Our state stepdaddy drops by for a chat.
Are we still referring to him as the state stepdaddy? Haven't we moved on?
Well, Kimber, he'll always be my stepdaddy.
Well, Pete, WA Premier Roger Cook drops by for a chat.
Also, we have 10K up for grabs and it needs a home. We'll play Alpha Bucks twice at 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. Finish it off, Kimber.
You're on Mix 94.5.
Why do I sound like Marge Simpson?
What do you mean? I thought that was perfect.
Did that go to air yesterday? Did we actually play that out across the afternoon?
During Carrie and Tommy. People listening wouldn't have even have known. In fact, you know what? We had a few texts on the text line. People coming in going, geez, how's Kimber sounds like she's back. Is she okay? Kimber's good. It's great Kimber's back on the radio
Kimber
station.
Sounds like she's gargling.
Kimber's a pack-a-day person. That's what...
Pete and Kimber.
We're joined by the Premier, Roger Cook. Thanks for dropping by, mate.
Good morning.
How it's all you? Action.
It's all happening here.
It is all happening. Yeah. Now, look, we've had Coldplay, we've had Ed Sheeran, we've had the WWE Elimination Chamber, we had Pink over the weekend, and now we're finding out that two of the biggest Serie A teams in the world, Italian soccer teams AC Milan and AS Roma, are going to be coming here to play at our Optus Stadium. You can confirm that with us this morning.
Absolutely. I can confirm the world's poorest kept secret.
Yeah, it was meant to be. You don't have to turn up to the press now.
No, that's
There's
right.
A conference
this morning
soon,
was supposed to be the big reveal, but as you saw, it's leaked out into the media, and that happens. But look, we've got AC Roma and AC Milan will be playing in an Asia-Pacific exclusive. So this is a really exciting opportunity for Western Australians to see two of the top Italian soccer teams,
yep.
European champions, the pair of them on a number of occasions. So we're really excited to bring this exclusive content to Western Australia. It just continues our ongoing program of major sporting and entertainment events. We want Western Australia to be one of the great event destinations of Southeast Asia. So this is a really valuable opportunity to bring tourists to WA, but also give Western Australian a great party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no question they're popular because there's certainly WWE and Coldplay, we know a lot of people came over because they wanted to experience it.
Yeah, about 14,000 people travelled to Western Australia from overseas and interstate for the WWE. And that's really the secret for these sort of events. You want people to travel to WA because that's all about WA jobs, right?
Yep.
It's about filling our bars, filling our hotels, our cafes, our clubs. It's about bringing to WA the vibrancy as well, but of course the economic activity is really important.
Now we talk of, like, I am one who goes to all these events. I love it.
Excellent.
I love the fact that you bring it. We got a bloody WWE Elimination Chamber event here. We got Ed Sheeran. Those are memories that last a lifetime, right?
Absolutely.
But how do you work out the, because you guys pay for these events to come here, and we often do ask the question, geez, I wonder how much it would cost to bring a Coldplay or a WWE Elimination Chamber, but those figures can't ever be shared. Why is that?
Yeah, well, because ultimately, for two reasons. Usually the other party doesn't want you to reveal the details of the commercial arrangement. And secondly, we don't want to give away to the opposition, our competitors out there, what we're paying for events, because that starts a bidding war. What we're going to do is provide an aggregated figure, you know, what the return on that investment is. And we know that particularly through things such as Coldplay, we've had huge return of investment. So Coldplay was two nights filling up the stadium. 22,000 people on both nights were for tickets sold outside the state. So you can really see it's very commercially and economically important. But we also want to provide some transparency, as much information as we can provide. So we're going to aggregate those numbers to give people an idea of exactly how well these dollars, taxpayers' dollars, are working for Western Australia.
And we'll find out that figure at some point down the track, I guess.
Well, at the end of the financial year, we're going to basically say, okay, so this is what we spent this year. This is the outcome.
Okay.
And all right. So that's, because we want to be transparent. It's just that we really struggle when we're working with in a commercial situation where people say, this is a contract between you and between you and us. We don't want you to reveal to our competitors what the nature of that contract is. I get that.
Okay.
But we also need to have transparency because it's taxpayers' dollars.
All right.
Well, this is the difficulty that we have. And I know that there's no, like, cut and dry answer to this. But it is so pressing because we go, we want these things, we want everything, we want our cake and eat it too, right? Yeah. Because we want to enjoy those and we know that it brings in the money. But there was also, I mean, look, I'm going to use the word bragging. When McGowan was in power, there was a lot of bragging about how much we were in surplus. And at the end of last year that we were $3.7 billion in surplus, which is good news for WA. But on the weekly, regularly hearing of people sleeping in their cars. Now, the housing crisis in this city is dire. It's happening every time. And everyone gives us the politician's answer for how we're fixing it and we're putting this much into housing, but that takes time and we're doing this. But, like, anecdotally, you can jump on Reddit and every single week there are people literally sharing tips with each other on how to sleep in their cars. Mm. They're telling us what parks to go to in Perth, where to go, where, how to get a gym membership so you can use the showers. Like, there has to be a point. When McGowan was in power, he stepped in and he said, we're not doing any spending. It's going to make me grossly unpopular, but we're not spending anything. This has to be fixed. What are we actually doing?
Yeah, look, and it's not just Perth, Kim. It's around the state. We find the housing challenges are replicated right through the state. So we're spending around about $2.6 billion at the moment to continue to build a lot of the social and affordable housing. You would have seen just the week before last, I announced with the Prime Minister a joint funded package to build a 219-unit accommodation.
Do we have a short-term plan, though? This stuff is like, it takes years to build
absolutely.
This stuff.
So
it takes, like, in that time, so many people are going to fall through the cracks of our social system, and there will be major mental health problems, major health issues. Like, this will have a far greater effect on WA government and the people of WA.
Yeah, so for instance, look at our short-term rental accommodation initiative, where we're trying to pull homes out of the Airbnb market onto the long-term housing market. So that's had an immediate impact of bringing, I think, around about 100 homes onto the market straight away.
Yep.
We're also looking at trying to accelerate the completion of homes that have been struggling to be built as a result of that post-COVID period, where we had an explosion of housing starts, but a lot of homes aren't being finished. And so we've got a stream of finance that is going into that to complete those homes. We know that in the pipeline, there's a bunch of homes which are coming on stream. And we know that the solution to the housing crisis is to increase our housing stock. So it means we need to get more rentals on the market, more people moving into their homes so that they can then, you know, free up another home for people to move into. And we're also looking at how we can further leverage the market to make sure we bring more homes on stream. So that's some of the immediate stuff. The longer term stuff is to make sure that we're constructing social and affordable housing. And in the long run, we need to make sure that we've got on much more stable and sustainable trajectory of home builds so that we can increase the housing stock. So a range of measures, some immediate, some medium term, some longer term. But we are throwing literally everything at this, including our $2.6 billion package to simply go out there and build as many homes as we can for social and affordable.
You know,
housing.
It's not ideal, but I'm genuinely like considering let's open one of the car parks in the Perth city that's been closed down on the corner of Wellington there. And let people park their cars in there and provide security for them every night.
So, for instance, what the Minister for Housing does is his department is going around literally looking at old age care homes that might be vacant, hotels that might be vacant.
Yeah.
And we've actually recently literally bought a hotel to house homeless people. So we're doing a range of things, you know, and as I said, we're literally throwing everything out there, including our finances, to make sure that we really muscle in on this issue.
Yep.
We know it's not an easy fix, Premier, and appreciate you answering the questions this morning.
Giving it a crack.
Yep. And on the other side of it, of course, you know, looking forward to AC Milan and AS Roma coming here as well. Like, we've got to have a balance for both things across this state. So, yeah, appreciate your time this morning, Premier.
Great to be with you.
Hi, Kimber.
Hi. Welcome
back.
Thanks.
How are you feeling, mate? You good? You feeling okay after yesterday? I feel like we have to revisit yesterday for anybody who isn't in the know and just give them the heads up on what went down, because it was quite an emotional roller coaster of a day yesterday.
It's live radio and I went through a journey of emotions because I've been waiting for 3 weeks for my friend to have her baby. And I've been on call as one of the birthing partners. And so she was like, I'll call you when I need you. And I've got a whole system. I had emails with birthing plans printed out. I knew exactly what I needed to do, you know. And yesterday finally got the call saying, I'm heading to the hospital. I'm in labor.
It was about this time that it happened, right?
Yeah. Like, and I said, guys, I want to go. She's asked me to be there and I want to go. And you guys went, yeah, cool, you can go. And then producer Rami called our boss Speedy to check. And Speedy said, oh, if you could just stick around for a couple of hours, these things take ages. She's going to be in birth forever. So if you could just stick around till the end of the show, that would be better for us. And so I did that. And my friend had her baby and I missed it because I was sitting here talking to you about Peppa freaking Pig. That's what happened. So when I went to air and you turned the mics on, I might have been a little angry about it.
A little angry. I was like, we were playing emotion bingo.
I had all of the emotions.
Yeah, I was ticking them off. Oh, there's sadness. There's anger. There's no, actually, we didn't get remorse, did we? You definitely didn't get remorse.
I felt guilt. I felt guilt because I let my friend down.
You poor thing.
And ultimately, it was Speedy's fault.
Mm. In fact, Speedy heard it all playing out live on the air and texted. Hey, Rami.
Yes.
What time, Speedy? Come in.
He's listening right now. He listens to all of our show.
He just texts me saying, oops.
He's listening to, oh, oops. I just missed the biggest event of my friend's life and the only birth I'll ever be invited to. And the boss said, oops.
Why'd you miss the birth this morning? I'd love to take calls on why did you miss the birth. Hear people's great stories about why they missed the birth. You poor thing. I can see the look on your face.
No, I get it because it's very real and very relatable for me at the moment.
Yeah,
I would also like to try, is your boss a bit of an a-hole? For whatever reason.
We didn't discuss this off
It might just be that they're just a general jerk or that they've done whatever it is.
So hang on, we're doing both calls.
Yeah.
We're doing both.
Yeah, whatever comes through. Why did you miss the birth? Or is your boss a hole?
Irene in Bayswater has joined us with, okay, so you're answering, is your boss an a-hole? This is your former boss, Irene. What happened?
So my daughter had a temperature of 42 degrees at daycare.
Yeah.
And that's, like, really dangerous.
Yeah.
And when I tried to leave, she physically blocked me from leaving my workplace.
What?
And wouldn't let me leave site.
Oh, my God. You don't step in front of a mama bear. I think everybody knows that, right?
Right.
I was so lucky. I had such supportive workmates there, and they actually went to bat for me, so I was able to leave. And my daughter was, you know, ill.
Yeah.
I managed to get there, but probably it was an hour and a half after daycare had called me.
Irene, I have heard some horrendous stories about bosses, particularly in the last couple of years, because staff have been so hard to get a hold of and workplaces are tough at the moment. Like, it's been shocking.
And that's why I feel so bad for Speedy, who until this moment was a really good dude, our boss.
You're rough as guts.
He sent us a text because he's listening and he said, I'm going to see you all after the show today.
hi, Lynn. did you like that one, did you? Now, this one here, you're answering why'd you miss the birth. You and your husband both missed the birth of your child, which makes absolutely no sense. What happened?
Okay, so I went into labour, laboured all night, and wasn't progressing. And when the specialist came in the morning, she said, the baby's fatigued. We've got to get the baby out immediately. And I didn't have an epidural in. So I had to have a general anaesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
So oh, wow.
It was the quickest way to get the baby out with an emergency Caesar. So I went straight to theatre and had a general anaesthetic. My husband is a radiographer, and they just opened up a new branch, and he was the only radiographer there, and he had a booking procedure that he had to go and do at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that was when I went to theatre. So he went off to work briefly and I went to theatre, so he wasn't there and I was out to it. But so we both basically weren't there to physically talk to her and welcome her in.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Wow. You should add Kimber's number. She could have not been there as well.
Stop it. Laura. Oh, that one actually hurt, Pete.
Laura. Oh. Hi, Laura. So Laura's calling for your boss is an a-hole. Tell us this. Tell us your story.
Go on, make us laugh before I get fired after the show.
What is it?
Well, I actually quit my job because my boss wouldn't give me a day off.
Oh, what did you want the day off for? Was it a reasonable request, Laura?
Well, yeah. So I gave them 6 weeks' notice. And a little backstory is with my job, I tend to book up about 6 months in advance. So my son was quite sick and he had this persistent lymph node up in his neck.
Mm.
And so he was going to go under anyway for tonsils and adenoids removal, but they were going to biopsy this lymph node. And when I sort of put in for annual leave, I said, look, you know, I've done it as late as possible, you know, in the year so that we can do, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah, you're trying to be understanding. And they wouldn't let you have the day off for that because your kid's going in a hospital.
Yeah, the answer was no.
Bloody hell. It blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind.
That's when you quietly quit. They're the days where you just don't show up that day, and when they call you, you go,
did you quit,
Laura? Oh, I was meant to be at work today.
Did you quit or did you stay?
No, I did quit. But then they begged me to stay, and they took me out to coffee on a Sunday and, it was like, what can we do? And I'm like, well,
not take my personal time on the weekend would be a great start.
No, that's not where you start, mate. You start with get the checkbook out. That's where you start.
This Pete and Kimber podcast is driven by Toyota. The all-new, all-electric Toyota BZ4X is here with a new striking and sleek design. Charge on in the Toyota BZ4X.